Complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and I am now complete in thee.
Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Complete in thee each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more. Complete in thee,
yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation.
Thy blood
hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among the chosen I shall be at thy right hand,
complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought.
Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Yea,
justified,
O blessed thought,
and sanctified,
salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too.
Take a man like him, with shouts of great rejoicing, and with music then they came. Of the angels standing by him, he asked what could be their name. He fell upon his knees, to heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame. These are the company of martyrs, the mighty fellowship of saints, who knew our Lord and walked beside Him, who ran the holy race and did not faint. Oh, He fell upon His knees and cried, I am not one of these. Was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy, like children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene and Paul, and the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all.
right, maybe one more here. Let's see which one I was looking for. This one. Not that one, actually.
I am not satisfied to stand upon this place, not contented with a measure of familiar grace. I want to go beyond the things I've always known. The ground I stand upon is by
doing well here this afternoon. I got started late here today. Just some extra things that I needed to get taken care of and kind of just the day, the way that it's going. But anyway, it is such is life sometimes. But anyway, I hope you're doing well and hope you had a good weekend. I don't know if you recognize that at all. I'm not sure. But if you do, That is Brandon. That's Brother Brandon's laugh right there. That's what that is. So, that's where it is. That's Brandon's laugh right there. I don't know why the volume's too low. I could turn it up, maybe. I'll have to find out why that's lower than what it is there. I know, Mary, but people like Carl always have to complain about something. They always got something to complain about. Got to have something to complain about. They complain if they got hung with a new rope. That's what I'm saying right there. Anyway, no, Trump's not the Antichrist. If Trump was the Antichrist, he would have won the election. Anyway, I won't sit and argue about it, because what good will it do? None. None whatsoever. So I won't waste my time arguing about that. However, lots of really crazy Antichrist things in the news today that you know you really can't get around that much. The Congress prays to the Antichrist, you know. Some people are making a big deal about him saying a woman or whatever. But really, what I want you to think about
the world and everything in it, bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families, peace across this land. And dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. Amen. And a woman.
Okay, so that's supposed to be a chaplain. Boy, that's a far cry from the chaplains of the Revolutionary War. Men like, Hezekiah Smith. Men like John Gannot, who were Baptist preachers, who preached the gospel and called men to repentance and who preached the truth. You know, now we have these airheads that call themselves chaplains, which, I'll be honest with you, all they are Antichrist devils. That's all they are. That's what they stand for. That's what they believe. That's the stuff that they hold to. They're Antichrist. That's what they are. And that's the God that they pray to. And, you know, that's the God they serve. You know, if you and I look at who the God was that he mentioned, it's not the God of the Bible. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's praying to the Antichrist. You have to understand this, that Satan doesn't care which flavor you choose. You can wrap God up into anything you want to, or a God, I should say, in anything that you want to, any name that you want to, any description that you want to, as long as it's not the God of the Bible. The Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, that's not what they do. They don't worship God in spirit and truth. They worship another God. But what they do is they make people think, they make them think that they worship the God, they just say God, and that's enough for people. It's like, show you this. Okay. Oops. Here's the dollar bill, right? You've got, it says, in God we trust. Okay. One side has in God we trust on it. See, in one side they have in God we trust, right? On the other, they have the God that they trust. Well, who is the God that they trust? It's the capstone. Look at it. It's the capstone. What is Novus Ordo Seclorum? What is that? One world, right? So who do they trust? That's their God. They're telling you who their God is that they trust. It's the God of Mammon. That's the God that they trust, the God of this world. They're not even hiding it. They're telling you who it is. Jesus Christ is not the capstone, is he? Who's the capstone? Well, the NIV, in the NIV, the capstone is supposed to be God, but who is that capstone? That's Antichrist. That's who that is. That's why they could say things like, in God we trust, right? That's why they could say things like that. Do they trust in the God of the Bible? No! They trust in the God of this world. And what they did was they put on this dollar, they put on this dollar the God that they trust. That's who it is. God's not described as a pyramid in the Bible. God's not described as the capstone in the Bible. In the King James Bible, he's the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's not the capstone. He's not the all-seeing eye. Right? He's not these 13 stars. He's not the phoenix rising, right? Novus Ordo Seclorum. He's not the phoenix rising out of the ashes, right? That's not the God of the Bible. I think it's interesting that that's on the $1 bill too. Isn't that something? And who did they say the light of the lodge was? Lucifer. Albert Pike said that, didn't he? That the light of the lodge was Lucifer. I believe it was him that said that. So they know who their God is. They know what they're pushing is the God of the New World Order, the God of the New Age. Right? That's the God of the New Age. That's who they serve. And so when they could say, so that it's no compromise to them to say in God we trust. Doesn't say in Jesus Christ we trust. What does the Bible say about salvation? Says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So this is speaking of what? This is speaking of the chief cornerstone, and that in his name only is salvation. I got a grip. A really good, strong grip. For you that said, get a grip. I got one. It's a grip, but I'm glad God's grip is stronger than my grip. Because it's the love of Christ that took hold of me, not my puny grip that takes hold of him. You better get a grip, friend. You know what your grip needs to be? You need to be fastened into Christ because you're in a lot of trouble. All Protestant reformers knew that the papacy was and is the Antichrist beast system. Great. Glad you checked in. Thanks for being about 3 years behind us. Appreciate it. All right. So right here. What you see here is they admit it, in God we trust. Okay, well, who's their God? These symbols are the symbols of their God. Those are the symbols of their God. That's who they hold to. Right? And by the way, here's the problem. See, people are so limited. They think that Satan is limited to their favorite flavor of blasphemy and like that Satan is limited to the Jesuits, or Satan is limited to the Masons, or Satan is limited to the Illuminati, or Satan is limited to, no, all of the above. All of the above, because you know what this pyramid is? It's another brick in the wall. That's what it is. You see what they're waiting for is this. They're waiting for this guy to come down and put the whole thing together. That's what they're waiting on. They're waiting for the capstone. They're waiting for the Antichrist. That's who's going to put it all together. Here it is. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. There's already the mystery of iniquity. It's already there. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So that mystery is already there. That spirit is already there. That spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What are they waiting for? Even him. That's who they're waiting for. They're waiting for him. They are waiting for him. Who is this man, Rep. Emmanuel Cleaver? Look at his name, Emmanuel. And he's a stinking antichrist. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan. Well, what do we believe about the Bible, what God says about it? Well, there's a mystery of iniquity and there's a mystery of godliness. Look at this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So, I absolutely 100% believe that the Antichrist will be a man that comes in the flesh by the spirit of Satan. Yes, I do. I absolutely believe that. I believe there's a beast system. I believe there's an Antichrist system. I believe that the Pope is a part of that system. But I also believe that this capstone right here I believe this is what they're waiting for. This. That's what they're waiting for. That's why they can't throw it all together and have the greatest rebellion ever yet. Because they're waiting for it. Mm-hmm. He's not here yet. So they can't do it yet. You know how bad it's going to get here? Yeah, you think it's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. This ain't bad. This ain't bad. Not yet. It's going to get bad. I absolutely believe it's going to get bad. I think it's going to get terrible. Because the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and he is going to be Satan in the flesh in that sense. Now, it won't be like the virgin birth exactly, but it's going to be a mockery of it. Because Satan can't create life. But let me show you something. Man, who's ready to get weird now? Who's ready to go to Weirdville right now? Okay. Let's go to Weirdville. Okay. You ready? All right, Genesis chapter 2. Let's go. Let's go to Weirdville. Time to get weird. All right. So I have a theory. Now listen, it's a theory. I didn't say that it's absolute 100%. All right? But I think that's the lesson here. I think that's what, I think this picture is what's being taught. Okay. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. What do we find that Satan does in the end times? The Bible says that he was able to give life unto the image of the beast. Right? So he's going to make that inanimate object alive. That image to the beast is going to come alive. Right? That's what's going to happen. Okay? So, and the number one thing that God told the Jews was not to make any image to bow down to it, to worship it, nor serve it. That you saw no similitude of the Godhead. Purposely. Why? Because in the end times, that's the trick. But I have... I have another idea also, a scriptural idea. And this is where it comes in, the Antichrist church and the Antichrist picture. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle. The Lord God caused a deep... Okay, let me back up. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, what did God do? God took Adam. God did the first surgery here ever. Okay? This is the first surgery that God that was ever done on man right here. God is the first anesthesiologist, so to speak. Okay? So he put him to sleep, right? He put Adam into a deep sleep. The Lord is our great physician. Well, who's like the Dr. Jekyll? That's Satan. Right? God is the great physician. Jesus Christ is the great physician. So God is able to take this rib from Adam and form woman. Look what it says here. And the rib which the Lord God had taken, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Sealed it right up, didn't he? Probably didn't even leave a scar or anything, did it? Just perfectly sealed it up. God is a great physician. So the first doctoring and the first surgeries and the first of all those things were done by God. Okay? And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Okay, so... she is taken out of the man. Now, Satan can't do that. He couldn't breathe into the nostrils of man the breath of life. So what's he going to do? He's going to mock that in some way. He's going to mock the virgin birth. And if you haven't noticed it, What are scientists always trying to do in a lab? What are they always trying to do? Make life, aren't they? They're always trying to do what God did already. So what did Satan promise Eve in the next chapter? ye shall not surely die. So they're trying to clone. You have all these scientists, they're trying to clone. They're trying to make life in a lab. They're trying to take everything that God had. But see, Satan can't do it without what God already has. He has to counterfeit it. That's who the Antichrist is. Counterfeit Christ. So then what's he going to do? He's going to make the image alive. He's trying to mock everything God did because he can't do any of it on his own. So he's trying to counterfeit it all. What does he do? He counterfeits everything. Right? He takes the genes. He can't create genes on his own, can he? No. So what does he do? He takes the genetic code and he manipulates it. And he wants to counterfeit it. And he wants to take it. That's who Satan is. Just like there's a true bride of Christ forming. Just like there's a true body of Christ. There is a body of Antichrist. That's what's forming. That's the church of the Antichrist. That's the body. Have you ever seen or heard all these occultic people talk about being the bride of Christ? The bride of Satan? The witches say that there's a number of brides of Satan. Right? Did somebody say, I thought I heard somebody say there was like 10 of them? Which is interesting, by the way, because different books, occultic books and things like that, talk about 10 angels, that 10 different kingdoms in the world that angels rule over. They talk about different things like that. Why? Because Satan is a manipulator. He's a counterfeit. He counterfeits what God has done and he perverts it. So the mystery of godliness was God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now check this out. Satan can't do the mystery of godliness, right? That's God. So what does he do? The mystery of iniquity, which is only once in the King James Bible, right? Check it out. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. What's he going to do? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. So it's after the working of Satan. How is that? With all power and signs and lying wonders. Now go back to the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. What's he doing with the mystery of iniquity? The exact opposite. Or as best he can. He's showing signs. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Jesus Christ is the truth. What is Satan? The lie. What does he produce? The lie. Watch. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the father of it. The father of who? The lie. That's who he's the father of. That you can achieve eternal life, or you can live forever in this world, in this flesh, in this fallen flesh. that you can live forever. That is the lie. So he's the master counterfeiter. That's what he does. He is counterfeiting and producing the lie. And who is he going to produce? The lie. As God the Father is the Father of the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. So the mystery of iniquity is the mystery of the incarnation of the lie. Just as Christ is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. A person manifest in the flesh. It's not just some picture. Was the mystery of godliness just some figurative speech? No. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That spirit is already at work. Jesus told them they were of their father, the devil, and the lust of their father you will do. He was a murderer. They were after his spirit. They had the same spirit as Satan. But only the mystery of iniquity is going to be the Antichrist in the flesh. Satan, the embodiment of evil in the flesh. And that's why when you see the bulk of these politicians, you got to understand one thing. The bulk of these politicians are preaching Antichrist doctrine. They're preaching it in types. They're preaching it in symbols. That's who they're preaching. The capstone. They're preaching the coming Antichrist. That's who they're preaching. That's their God. So when that guy stands up, and says this. Not that, sorry, wrong thing.
May the God who created the world and everything in it bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families, peace across this land, and dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma.
So upon the authority of this thing right here, that's what you asked it in? Upon the authority of that right there, that's what you asked it in? Yeah, that is. Upon the authority of this thing. Well, that's not the God of the Bible. Who is that? See, who is it? Well, it's this. That's who it is. It's this God that is forming, that is coming, that they're going to speak after. It's this God. The God of the lie. The better known as, or not better known as, but additionally known as, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you see that? Who is the express image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. But that's not the image of the invisible God that he's talking about, the firstborn of every creature. No, 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 no. His God is that one. That's the one that he's talking about. He's talking about him. He's talking about the lie. That's who he's talking about. Brahma is the Hindu creator god. He is also known as the grandfather and the later equivalent of the Prajapati, the primeval first god in early Hindu sources. Brahma is supreme in the triad of great Hindu gods, which includes Shiva and Vishnu. Brahma, due to his elevated status, is less involved in the picturesque myths where gods take on human form and character, but is rather a generally abstract or metaphysical idea of a great god. Brahma is no longer worshipped, and other gods are assigned his myths. In the beginning, they say Brahma sprang from the cosmic golden egg, and he then created good and evil, light and dark from his own person. So, in other words, the egg came before the chicken. Do you see how it's backwards? He sprang from what? From the cosmic golden egg. So then what is that? That's evolution. That's an inverted order. He also created the four types: gods, demons, ancestors, and men, the first being Manu. Brahma then made all living creatures upon the earth, although in some myths, Brahma's son Daska is responsible for this. Okay, so you see, Brahma had several wives. The most important being his daughter, Saravati. Sarasvati. Mm-hmm. So you see, these are false gods.
Brahma. The golden egg is the Hindu god or Deva of creation and one of the Trimurti, the others being Vishnu and Shiva. According to the Brahma Purana, he is the father of Manu, from whom all human beings are descended. In the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, he is often referred to as the great grandsire of all human beings. Brahma's wife is Saraswati. He has two other wives, Savitri and Gayatri. All his three wives are Vedic goddesses and are revered as Veda Mata, meaning mother of the Vedas. At the beginning of the process of creation, Brahma created 10 Prajapatis, used in another sense, who are believed to be the fathers of the human race. He is also said to have created the 7 great sages or the Saptarishi to help him create the universe. However, since all these sons of his were born out of his mind rather than body, they are called Manasputras or mind sons or spirits. With Vedic and Puranic scripture, Brahma is described as only occasionally interfering in the affairs of the other devas or gods, and even more rarely in mortal affairs. The legend says that Brahma was born in water, a seed that later became the golden egg from which Brahma the creator was born as Hiranyagarbha. The remaining materials of this golden egg expanded into the universe. Brahma is traditionally depicted to be clad in red clothes with 4 heads, 4 faces and 4 arms. With each head, he continually recites one of the 4 Vedas. He is often depicted with a white beard, indicating the nearly eternal nature of his existence. Unlike most other Hindu gods, Brahma holds no weapons. One of his hands holds a scepter, while another of his hands holds a bow. He also holds a string of prayer beads called the Akshamala, which he uses to keep track of the universe's time. He is also shown holding the Vedas. Brahma's 4 arms represent the 4 cardinal directions, east, south, west, and north. The back right hand represents...
Did you hear that? The 4 cardinal directions? So it's nothing more than witchcraft and rebellion to God. And what that man was praying to was Antichrist. That's who he is praying to.
The mind, the back left hand represents intellect, the front right hand is ego, and the front left hand is self-confidence. The prayer beads symbolize the substances used in the process of creation. The book symbolizes knowledge. The golden face of Brahma indicates that he is actively involved in the process of creating the universe. The swan is the symbol of grace and discernment. Brahma uses the swan as his vahana or his carrier. Lord Brahma's crown indicates his supreme authority. The lotus symbolizes nature and the living essence of all things and beings in the universe. Brahma's black or white beard denotes wisdom and the eternal process of creation. The 4 Vedas symbolizes his 4 faces, heads and arms. Today, India has very few temples dedicated to Brahma. Among the few that exist today, the most famous is the temple in Pushkar in Rajasthan.
So there you go. What does it come down to, though? Antichrist. That's who it is. That's the God they follow. That's the God of this world. That's the one you find. That's the mystery of iniquity. See, that's the capstone. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given him to continue 42 months. By the way, for everybody else that continues to preach to you, and which, by the way, I definitely disagree with Ken Ham on, about every tongue and everything is the same and we're all supposed to be one, and God made us all and we're all supposed to be one and all that. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that, because when I look in the book of Revelation, it says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That, to me, doesn't look like we're all supposed to be one. It looks like that God has nations, God had borders for those nations, God had tongues and different kindreds. And that's the way it is. I don't follow. And by the way, that's Revelation. But what I do see is this push to make everybody the same and nobody has any individuality. And I don't buy it. I don't buy it. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. So, there's miracles going on here. There's signs and wonders going on here. This is the mystery of iniquity. That spirit was already at work, and it's going to be at work even more when that Antichrist comes in the flesh. And then there's going to be given power. There, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. See, this is what it's all going to come down to eventually. This is what it's all going to come down to eventually. It all comes down. Either you follow the image of God, which is Christ Jesus the Lord, or the image of the beast. See, there's only two images. There's that matter. Or there's one that matters, but there's only really going to be two decisions. Either you follow the image of the invisible God, Christ, who is the image of God, which is not made with hands, by the way, or you follow the image of the beast. You're either made in the image of God and made after the image of Christ, being born again by the Spirit of God, having your sins forgiven, repented, and believe on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will follow the image of Antichrist. You will follow Satan's image, the image of the beast. See, there's only two. That's it. So when you describe it and you look at it in the scriptures, and you look at it in the news today, what does this man describe? Rep. Emmanuel Cleaver. Well, he's describing the image of the beast. He's not talking about the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He's not talking about Christ, the express image of the Father. Right? The prayer took place in Congress right here. It's the opening prayer of the first of Congress in 2021. Took place today. Or it could have been yesterday. I'm not sure. Now, either you follow the image of the invisible God. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that. By the way, you see how they mock that with that number? God has in his book that Christ is number one. Amen. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being so much better than the angels. Christ is the image of the invisible God. Okay, what does that mean? You can't understand what God looks like. You can't see him. God is a spirit. Christ was manifest so we could understand God, so we could know who God is. If you wish to know who God is, then study Christ. Christ is God. But Christ is God manifest in the flesh. So you and I can know God by knowing Christ. Because we can understand God by knowing Christ. Colossians chapter 1, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. The only way you can understand God is through Christ. That's it. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. How do I know God better? Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is Jesus Christ who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. That is the incarnation. That's what that's talking about. For by him. There are heretics out there that try to say that Christ was the first one created. And then God created everything through Christ afterwards. That's heresy that started in the 3rd century. But that's not what the Bible says. This is speaking of his incarnation. This speaks of Christ's incarnation. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Anytime you see anything dealing with created and Christ, it is discussing and dealing with the incarnation. Remember, the Bible says he made himself a man. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. By the way, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. What is that dealing with? It's dealing with the incarnation, the image of the invisible God, Christ manifest in the flesh, the mystery of godliness, who being in the form of God, that is the image of God. That's how you can understand. That's how you can understand who God is through Christ's incarnation. That's what that means when it says who being in the form of God, dealing with his incarnation. The image of the invisible God. That's the part that you can see. That's the part that you can see. Yeah, for some reason, my internet wants to drag on me. I don't know what the deal is. There's no reason for it. I got super fast speeds here. It's just ridiculous, but whatever. Probably the topic I'm talking about. What do you think? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You got to be able to understand from the scriptures who God is. Stop falling for these people that claim to pray to God. They claim to pray. They claim to follow God, but they're following the image of the beast. They're not following the image of the invisible God. Why? Well, when it deals with the image of the invisible God, it tells you who he is. It's Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He was made in the likeness of men. What is that dealing with? Made is dealing with the incarnation. It's dealing with Christ being incarnated. Because the Bible says very clearly that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What does begotten mean? It means to come from the Father. Begotten into the flesh. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary's womb. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. See, that's the image of God. That's the image of God. Right? Look at that, three times. Right? Look at, now I want you to think about this. I'm going to change the title of this, by the way, to Congress Prays to Antichrist, Image of God versus Image of the Beast. That's what I'm going to change this to. But anyway, because that's really the direction that I'm going, that God's led. 2 Corinthians 4:4, look at that. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Look at, image of God is three times. Three times. For the Trinity. The tripart. The tripart of man, right? We're there's three parts to us. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Look at the last one. Who is the image of God? Then you have one time here. Who is the image of the invisible God? The image of the invisible God. How do I know who they're praying to and what they believe? Well, every time you see the image of the invisible God, every time you see that, when it's dealing with God, there's a name attached to it. And that's the name of Jesus, or that's the Son of God, or he's talking about who that God is. It's not just some generic God. when they leave it so generic, they're talking about him. When they don't mention Christ or they don't allude to Christ, that's because they don't want to. That's because they're comparing the capstone. This guy's talking about the capstone. Because he told you his name wasn't the name of Jesus, was it?
Everything in it, bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families, peace across this land. And dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. Amen. And a woman.
You see that? See, that's the devil right there. Who's he praying to? Well, he's praying to Satan. He's praying to the Antichrist. That's who he's praying to. That's the God that he's praying to. It ain't the God of the Bible. It's Antichrist. That's who it is. I'm trying to find something here. Hang on a second. Let's see. I'm looking for something. You know what? I'm going to play a song here real quick. I'm going to try to find something. I want to show you something else here.
Steal away. Steal away. Steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away. Stay here, my Lord. He calls me by the thunder. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal. Stay here.
My Lord, He calls me. He calls me by the lightning. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay.
Man, I love that song. That's a good one right there. All right, I want to show you something. Let's see. Lecrae. Lecrae, who I believe is absolutely antichrist to the core. I don't believe that guy knows what the gospel is. If he knows it, he doesn't care about it. But anyway, he said, when I first started, evangelicals loved me. I championed their pastors and authors. When I started reaching the hip-hop community, they said I was worldly. Meanwhile, the biggest names in rap were doing Bible studies with me. I guess evangelicals forgot to keep hating me. Okay. Then evangelicals forgot to hate me again. As I found success, they said I was a fake Christian or Illuminati because no one finds earthly success without consorting with the devil. And I replied, well, if it's any consolation, I always thought you were a worldly devil working for Satan. I love it. Anyway, here's my point, okay? Is that that's the God that they serve. The one that's okay with him campaigning. The one that's okay with him campaigning for abortionists, socialists, communists, sick devils that are literally butchering his community. He said his black community. Butchering those black babies. And he's supporting politicians. And campaigning for them. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you who his God is. Listen. Your words and your actions as a Christian need to match up. They need to. They ought to. If they don't, there's a serious problem with that. Either you're disobedient or you're lost. One of the two holds true. Now, when it comes to something like murder, the Bible says no murder hath eternal life dwelling in him. When it comes to something as blatantly wicked as the social gospel is, I am convinced these people are antichrist. I am convinced that's who they are. Because no one can name the name of Christ, have the scriptures in front of them, have the Spirit of God in them, know what the gospel says, and do the absolute opposite of the gospel. It makes no sense. At least when people vote for people like Trump and other people like that, they legitimately believe those people are standing up for truth. Even though when you go through a fine-tuned comb, you can see they're really not. But I get it, okay? But with people like this who openly defy the scriptures, It's not, that's not hard. It reminds me of Kanye West. Guy's been off Twitter for a while, huh? By the way, did you see what he said here? God is so good. Today I'm voting for the first time in my life for the President of the United States, and it's for someone I truly trust. Me. Really? You truly trust yourself? I think the God that Kanye is talking about is himself. Kanye is talking about himself. When Kanye talks about God, when Kanye talks about Jesus, his name is still Yee. Do you understand? Basically, he's talking about himself. He's calling himself God. When he's singing those songs, they're about him. They're about him. His songs are about him. When he says he's singing about Jesus, he's singing about Yeezus. That's who he's singing about. And if you understand that, then you'll be able to figure out why he can work with people like Dr. Dre and why he can work with all these people. Why? Because it's the image of the beast. Who is the image after? And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, Revelation 13, 14, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. It's an image after their own hearts. Where do we find another picture of that? Saul. Saul was a king. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. See, David was a king after a man after God's own heart. Saul was a man of the people. See, image of the beast. Right? Just like we've talked about before. I covered this a while back. Right? The Rock. That's a God in man's image. That's what that is. That's the God that man wants. That right there is the image of the beast. That's the image of the beast. That's it. That's a man after, that's the people's champion. Same spirit. That's not the meek and lowly one, Christ. That's an image of the beast. Because what does Revelation 13 tell us is going to happen? Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And what's the what was Saul full of? Himself. What is the rock full of? Himself. Who is the Antichrist full of? Himself. All culminating around a king. So what God are they talking about? The God of this world. That's the God they serve. That's the God they're praying to. That's this God. That's who it is. That's the capstone. That's who it is. It's not the chief cornerstone. It's the capstone. He's the one that's going to bring it all together, and that's what they're waiting for. And that's who this Congress just prayed to. That's exactly who they prayed to. The image of the beast. That's who it was. That's who it is. The beast is interchangeable with a kingdom and a man. It absolutely is interchangeable. By the way, look at the picture. Nebuchadnezzar was a king. And what did God give Nebuchadnezzar? The heart of a beast. Thank you. He ran and he ruled a kingdom, and he was a man that was given the heart of a beast. And who will the Antichrist be? A man who has the heart of the beast. Same thing. So there you go. That's who it is. Same thing. Nebuchadnezzar had the image of the beast. Nebuchadnezzar made an image of the beast. Nebuchadnezzar caused men to worship the image of the beast. God gave Nebuchadnezzar the heart of a beast. See, it's all right there. It's real easy. It's exactly what happened. Right there. That's Bible. All that is Bible. And you can see it very plainly. Very, very, very plainly. And that's what's going to happen in the end. The beast is a government as well as a man. Interchangeably. Both. And there's going to be an image made. And there are already images now being made and worshipped that are not the image of the invisible God, Jesus Christ. That's why we worship Christ, and we worship him alone. We don't worship the things made with man's hands. Jesus Christ is God, manifest in the flesh. Okay, let's see. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. That's the end time sin. To a beast. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. They followed another God. Okay, now watch this. You ready? Look at the first time this is used. Oh, not the first time. Let's see. Sorry. 1, 2. Here we go. That's 3. Let me see how many times that is. 1, 2. Let's see. 1, 2. 3, 4, 5, 6. I got to see if that's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think it's 7, maybe. I might have messed up, but who cares? 1, 2, 3, that's 130, 4, 5, it is 6. I think I'm right. Josh, we need to count that for me. Make sure my brain's going good there. I don't know if you have that app on your phone. I think the sixth time beast is used. Beast is used. I think the sixth time is Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. That's weird. Also, 180 times that word beast is used. Divided by 6 is 30. That's interesting. Yep, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. There you go. That's the sixth time right there. Okay? So there you have the image of the beast versus the image of God. See the difference? See the first time? The beast of the field, that's the sixth time that word is used right there. By the way, it's 180 times in the Bible. 6 divided by 180 is 30. That's also interesting. So, you have the beast worship versus worship of Christ. Right now, they're worshiping the image of the beast. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. There's that worship. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. So we have the mystery of iniquity. We have the mystery of godliness. We have the image of the beast. And we have the image of God, which is Christ. You will always be able to trace the image of God through Christ and the scriptures. The image of the beast, when it talks about the image of God, we get a description of Christ. The image of the beast is the description of Antichrist from the God of this world. That's the difference. And we're seeing it. And that's who these people are. And that's why they worship what they do. Because they're devils. Amen. But we have Christ. No matter what you're going through in your life, if you're saved by the grace of God, then you have Christ. So I could say, I may have all these challenges. I may have anxiety. I may have depression. I may have COVID. I may have the world may be tossed to and fro and all kinds of stuff. I may have all these infirmities. But my answer should always be, but I have Christ. That's the best answer. Amen. If you don't have him, I highly recommend him to you. Amen.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If Jesus, 'tis now. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he? How he loves you and me.
Amen. All right, everybody. I hope you like the broadcast and share it with a bunch of people. We had over 100 people on here today, so some folks are paying attention. That was a blessing. That's good. They got a good gospel witness in there and got a good Bible study there on the image of God versus the image of the beast. And what we see today in our wicked world and the God that they're pushing. I like this song right here. We'll play it. If anybody wants to say hi, if you're out there, there's 80 people on there. There was about 100 on there or so. Let's see if anybody wants to say hi that hasn't said hi yet.
I am not satisfied to stand upon this place. Not contented with a measure of. I am not satisfied to stand upon this place. Not. not contented with a measure of familiar grace. I want to go beyond the things I've always known. The ground I stand upon is but a stepping stone. Lord, lift me higher. Bring me closer to your face, for I want to know an unfamiliar grace. Your love is wider and deeper than the sea, and yet so near to me. I need to know to possess a little of my Christ, the height where I aspire, and my soul's deep desire is to be dwelling in the realm of holy fire. So many seem to settle for the things that they can see, shadow of the glory there could be. But I will never rest until I touch the unseen hand, who'll take me far beyond what I can understand. Lord, lift me higher. Bring me
God bless you all. Hope you're doing well out there. And looks like we had a good group today on here, and hopefully it was a blessing to you, and the Lord will use it in your life and share it with other people. These current event things and things of that nature, they can be used to reach other people for the Lord. They can be used to preach the gospel to them, to help them to see the need and in a practical way. And, you know, that's what we're here for. So to make the truth plain for people to see and to hear the gospel, and so they can be saved and walking in the fear of the Lord. And I'm glad that now we're back to a normal schedule. Should be. I may be going to a wedding at the end of the month. I don't know yet. My wife is due in the next 2 or 3 weeks here. Actually, we have about 3 weeks to go, so we don't know any time now, really, but you just never know. So just pray for us as we wait for the baby to come, and pray for the Lord to continue to meet our needs and take care of us and give a safe delivery and all of those things. And, we just pray that the Lord would intervene for us and take care of us, and pray for our church, and pray for those that are sick and afflicted out there, and all those folks that need it. And should be on a normal schedule, though, from here on out for a while. And for this cold winter here, but we'll see what the Lord allows, and we thank God for all of his goodness to us. But we will be back Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Time, 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time, and you pray for one another, and